Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our discussion and biblical study of the question of suicide. We look specifically at the question of professing Christians committing suicide and the regrettable responses that many Christians have as they attempt to make suicide an unpardonable sin. Suicide is horrible, but the Bible presents a balanced, reasonable approach, and we hope that this message is an encouragement to those who have lost loved ones, and also to provide logical reasons for the suicidal person, especially the professing Christian, not to commit such a heinous act that leaves so much hurt and suffering for surviving loved ones in its wake. And now we join part two of our message on suicide.
None of us are Superman. There's only one Superman. He was the God-man. But even he suffered. You see, our Savior went through more. That you got to remember that. When you're sitting there feeling whatever you're going through, Jesus did more suffering than you. You have never been beaten to a bloody mess and nailed to a cross. You aren't sinless and then had the sin of the world poured on you. No matter what it is you're going through, Jesus is going through more. Now, suicide says, I do not trust God, and I'm going to end life my way and in direct disobedience to God. That's what suicide says. We're supposed to do this in Proverbs 3, 5 to 7. Read that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's what we're supposed to do. We trust in. Stop trying to figure everything out. Stop even thinking about what's going on. Just hand it over to Him and say, Lord, when you're ready to take this off of me, I'll be more than happy to let you do it. In the meantime, give me grace.
Yes.
And just like you told Paul, my grace is sufficient. Now, I want to give you a little bit of a... I dealt with a fella recently that was suicidal. And this is a response I gave him, and I'm not giving you the whole thing. This is part of it. I told him, salvation is not in question. If the person is truly saved, sadly, that is not something you can know about me and is not something I can know about you. Now, follow me on this. If anybody in this room were to commit suicide, I don't know if you're saved or not. Only you do.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm just being honest. Everyone you love will have to live with that fact. If you killed yourself tomorrow, everyone you love would live with the reality that they don't know your salvation. They only know their own. And that is one of the most tragic things about suicide. If you were to do such a thing, you will leave tortured loved ones who will be haunted by your act. Satan will be using you to torture your loved ones for as long as they live. You let that sink in, because I've seen it. I think we should all get an opportunity to chew people out in heaven who committed suicide for at least 30 minutes. Because they go to heaven, they leave a bunch of loved ones who are tortured by it. I've seen it. I've had to deal with it. In one case, it made it really hard to preach the funeral and be nice to the guy. Can you imagine how terrible that is for people who remain after a loved one has committed suicide? I don't have to imagine. As I said, I've dealt with it. Was he saved? What did I not do that I should have done? Am I to blame, at least partially, for his suicide? Chris, I hope you don't mind. Chris went through it. And I can tell you, loved ones always have that in their mind.
Yeah.
And it's easy to just say, you know better than that. Because they do. And yet it's still there. You know better than that. Yeah, I know. And yet it's still there. How many times people have said, I had a feeling I should go over. I had a feeling I should call the person. I knew there was something wrong. You just don't want to do that to people. The questions are endless. I know, because I've counseled those who had loved ones commit suicide. It's horrible for them. And even when they get their head straightened out, the dreams and nightmares can remain for a lifetime. Folks, don't ever do that to anybody.
No.
If you're ever thinking about, if that voice is telling you to do something like that, and if you ever counsel anybody, talk to them about this. Most suicide victims, their problem is all they can think about is themselves. If you can get them to stop thinking about themselves and make them think about what they're leaving behind. I can't imagine that Robin Williams had any real understanding of what he's left his children to deal with now. Why would you want to do that to loved ones? I can't imagine you'd want to. That's why it's got to be talked about. Churches have to talk about it. Families have to talk about it. That way when that thought ever enters your mind, you already have these thoughts implanted in your mind. And then Jesus, it says, the Lord Himself will bring these things to mind. So there are people who aren't here today that may be in your family you need to have this talk with. Maybe when we get this thing uploaded, you need to sit down and show this on your TV screen or your computer and sit down and watch it with them. You need to get this out on the table. Most suicide victims, they call them victims, that's just their terminology, I'll stick with it. They, when they do the research, the family always, very seldom, is it somebody who has talked these things out. The family didn't recognize the red flags, or they lived in denial, no one said anything, and they're gone. Very few suicide people who commit suicide or attempt it have been able to sit down and talk about it and get these, and very few of them, Scripture. And that's the most important thing. What do I lose by committing suicide? I'll go through this list real quick. Number one, you lose the opportunity to see the hand of God as He delivers you from or through your trials. God does not promise to keep you from trials. He will sometimes, but other times He carries you through it. And you have robbed yourself of that opportunity to see Him work. Number two, you have lost years of ministry opportunity and time with loved ones. You, by your choice, cut your life off short. Those are years you could have spent serving the Lord and serving others and experiencing what it's like to be used of God. Three, you lost a great deal of reward in the coming kingdom. And there's some, I don't go this far, but there's some who teach, and if they're right and I'm wrong, they teach that you don't even go into the kingdom. You basically are on a 1,000-year probationary term, and you get to sit back and watch. I don't buy that, but better hope they're not right. Number four, your testimony with lost loved ones that you leave behind. You're trying to witness to somebody in your life, you kill yourself. You just blew that. I mean, if your faith in God is like a disease, why do they want it?
Amen.
Amen? So you kill yourself, you just done blown all your witness with the lost people that you'd like to see saved. Just destroyed it. And number five, your memory, as in death, many of your loved ones will be plagued with doubt about your soul. We've mentioned that before. You lose your as far as the way people remember you. Not just your testimony, but you as a person. Everything they thought about you. I heard people saying that about Robin Williams. They're saying, this totally destroys everything I ever thought about the man. I'm just using him as an example because it's in the news. But any Christian who presents their body to God as a living sacrifice will not even consider suicide. Romans 12, 1 and 2, it's a very simple statement, and it is the cure for suicidal thoughts. Romans 12, 1 and 2, read that with me. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If your body belongs to God, you're not going to shoot it in the head, you're not going to hang it, you're not going to kill yourself. It's not yours. We're bought with a price. Amen?
Amen?
Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't just say, I'm yours, Lord, but then turn around and fill your heart and your mind with His Word. And then, by you filling your mind and your heart with His Word and submitting to it, that is how you live the Spirit-filled life. Amen.
Amen.
And be prepared to talk to people. Even when it's some celebrity, people are affected by that. And you can talk to them about these things and use it as an opportunity, especially with lost loved ones, to preach the gospel. And don't try to convince them of your opinion of whether or not somebody went to heaven or hell. Assure them, as I said, they didn't go to heaven or hell based on whether or not they committed suicide. And that's what I, folks, that's what I do every time I preach at a funeral. I don't care if the guy had a great testimony and spent his life serving the Lord. I don't get up there and talk about that guy or that gal in the coffin. The message is to the person in the pew. What about you? Are you saved? The message is to the living. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for everything You've told us about this subject, and there's much more that could have been said, but I just pray, Lord, that this will begin to help people think straight on these matters and be able to be used by You. Vessels of honor, Lord, that we can be used to preach the truth and to guide people into Your truth. And Lord, more than anything, to preach to lost souls and tell them about Jesus dying on the cross, being buried, and rising from the dead and ascending to heaven and promising to take us to be with Him for eternity. And Lord, if we would just live with that truth in the front of our minds, always on our minds, it would change everything and a lot of lives. And we just thank You and praise You. Give You all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to stay just a couple minutes. Does anybody have any questions you want to ask?
I'm just curious about how you would fight the people who are trying to say that depression is a disease type thing, to where committing suicide is like,
yeah,
because everyone's saying that too.
Yeah, the whole mental illness thing is something that it's really difficult to talk to people about if they're really convinced of what the secular majority is saying about this. But let me tell you, it's not even among psychologists and psychotherapists is there the consensus that they try to pretend there is. And same thing, just like in science, everybody acts like there's consensus on evolution and everything, and there's not. And when it comes to the issue of mental illness, most mental illness is directly related to simple choices that people make.
Yeah.
When they say that there's a chemical imbalance, there's no science behind that. If you go into a doctor and tell him that you have a problem, they don't do a test on you and find a chemical imbalance.
Yeah.
That what they do is they just take your symptoms that you tell them you have, and they interview you and all that, and then they say, well, we believe you have a chemical imbalance. It's the closest thing to voodoo that we have today, to be honest with you. It really is. Now, a lot of people are born with a malfunctioning brain. That's not a chemical imbalance. That's a physical problem with the brain. But that's hard to detect too. And so there are medicines to help those people. But here's the thing. Let's say this is a scale. Let's say the scale goes, you know, this is the whole up to about right here. Well, maybe about this many people should be on medication. They've got about this many people.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And so that you got to be very careful when it comes to you and your family of allowing any of these psychotherapists or people to put you on medication and everything. But the other thing is, if somebody's already on it, you don't tell them to go off of it. Because when you go on that stuff, your body begins to rely on it.
Yeah.
And if they go off cold turkey, they really could crack. Or have some other issue that could make, you know, you do some real damage. And I always counsel people that if you want to get off this stuff, go back to your doctor or find a doctor who will help you get off of it. But you need to follow their directions getting off of it. And we've successfully helped several people get off those psych meds, and it is a life changer.
Yeah.
But they did it with the doctor's help, and so no one got hurt. But yeah, that just a FYI, you can do more research on that. We've talked about it in the past and will in the future, but that's a scary business, a lot of that stuff. But Johnny, yeah.
Just a comment I was thinking of, because you know, you were mentioning how committing suicide could cause you to, would of course destroy your reputation.
Yeah.
And I guess I would just add that in all reality, there's a lot of sins like that in the world.
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a good point to bring up. Is that I'm not saying that, we were just dealing with suicide. There are many other sins that can do that. And you get out and go get drunk and wreck, and die as a, oh, Pastor Greg died. He was drunk driving. that would ruin things. Yeah, there's other sins that do the same thing. Good point. But as I said, whatever it is, when we go out, we don't want to go out obeying the devil. No matter what sin that is. Ed, you got a question? No. Yes, Tracy.
David, are saying a lot of pastors are committing suicide.
Yes.
Saying that they're flopping, they can't handle the pressure, and it's really...
And as you know, I would pay very close attention to that, being in my shoes. And I can tell you that I'm not saying I have the answers, but I'm saying this. There are certain things that... it's kind of like playing Matlock, how many of you know who Matlock is? Yeah. Okay. Andy Griffith became Matlock. But you just look, and we had a fella down in Portsmouth, Ohio, in a church that some of my friends went to growing up. He has a family, two teenage boys, walked into the church, had a balcony, walks up there, straps, jumps, and hangs himself right in the church. His son finds him. It blew people away. But what you found out about him was what you find out about a lot of these, whether they're pastors or not, he was quietly going to a psychotherapist and he was on drugs. And they messed him up. And so that's why I say Christians will commit suicide. Because in his case, he was misled. The devil got him. He was misled. But he went on pills, and those pills messed his brain, his thinking and everything, his judgment, and he just flipped and hung himself. Yeah.
Yeah. In the book of Revelation that you're studying, the word witchcraft, the Greek word
sorcery. Sorcery.
Yeah, and it starts off on the bottom of the list, moves up to the middle, and then towards the end it gets up to number 2.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
So that's the connection.
Pharmakia and apothecary is a...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's a drugged culture. And you think about it, rapture happens, few million of your closest friends disappear. There's going to be people who are going to see their own relatives gone, the spouses and everything.
Yeah.
They're going to flip out and they're going to go on drugs.
Yeah.
And so I think this pharmaceutical madness that's going on right now is going to play into the whole thing where people will hand themselves over like that to take the mark and all that. Yeah, Brian?
This is something we've talked about as a family as well, but one problem in this day and age is you're told you're supposed to be happy.
Yeah.
Happy all the time, you should always be smiling, you need to be positive, but in this world it's depressing, it's sad. Mm-hmm. Death rules the world. I mean, living in sin, if you're not happy, there's nothing wrong with you.
That's right.
It's completely normal. As Christians, we have the joy of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a choice we make,
right?
And it has to rule our lives, and happiness is of the Lord.
Yes.
So if you're in sin and you're not saved, there's absolutely no reason for you to be happy.
Right.
That's where we direct those to the gospel. And
yeah.
If you see a Christian who is sad or depressed, that's where you as a brother or sister in Christ need to go to them and encourage them and exhort them in the Word of God, hymns, songs of praise, just
Amen.
Things like that. And that's the biggest thing I've seen with those who are unsaved and who are saved, who struggle with depression, is because they're told, well, you should be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to be happy. Not in this world.
Yeah.
The only time to be completely 100% happy is when we're in the presence of the Lord.
I don't want to sound crude, but the women in here, you got a monthly thing going on that if I had to go through, I'd be terrible. And so, if you feel guilty because a few days out of the month, you feel like you know, killing somebody, or, you know, I just know there's some, or some are just cranky, and or some just have a few days where they just like, don't want to be on this planet. That's normal. And if you don't experience that, don't tell any other women because they'll hate you. But the ones who do, huh?
Don't forget about menopause now.
And the menopause thing is like, you know, a long term. Yeah, and you know, hey, Jenny's back there wagging her finger at me. I think it's healthy to say this. I have told her that if you do not feel good, you just tell me, because I can't imagine going through that. And if you need me to leave you alone, if you say, Greg, just don't talk to me today. She's never actually done that. But I mean, if she did, I would sympathize, whatever the right word is. I can't imagine having to deal with that stuff. And I grew up with that too in our church, where the main fruit of the Spirit was being happy. That's not in the Bible.
Happiness is a byproduct.
But that's not a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and joy is not happy. Those are two different things. And joy is something you can have no matter how you feel. And that's another study for another time, but just plant that up here. But being this, you know, all the time. What was the name of that movie, the Stepford Wives? That's how a lot of Christians have been raised to think that that's Christianity. That is not in the Bible. That is a cultural thing that American Christians who don't really know what persecution and suffering is about. And they've developed this idea that we come into church and, hey, everybody, hey. You know, and the guy who leads the music, oh, it's so wonderful to see you all today. You are so, you know, you just want to throw the hymn book.
That's a part of that prosperity.
Yeah.
Always being, you have to be happy and watch what you
say. I'm blessed.
Because your words, you're speaking into the atmosphere.
I am blessed.
Yes, I'm blessed and highly favored.
And your license tag says, I am blessed. BLSSD. Yeah. Yes. Favor. Yeah.
Highly favored.
All right, well, we'll close it for the night. I just want to make sure everybody had a chance to hang out in fellowship if you want to. We'll be here.
I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy. Thank you. his grace.